in the contrary to that. Again, in Sunday school this morning, Gary laid the foundation for this sermon, and I feel like I'm compelled to read a little bit about what he spoke on this morning out of Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one enters suit justly. No one goes to law honestly. They rely on empty pleas. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs. They weave the spider's web. He who eats their eggs dies, and from one that is crushed, a viper is hatched. Their webs will not serve as clothing. Men will not cover themselves with what they've made. Their works are works of iniquity, and deeds of violence are in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Desolation and destruction are in their highways. The way of peace they do not know. It's interesting that our world is really just turned to that. In so many ways, shapes, and forms, even in our own streets. Again, I want to remind you, I was compelled, we do expository preaching here where we take a book and we'll go through it. We preach from Genesis to Revelation, right, Mark? Right, Gary? We preach from Genesis to Revelation. We believe the whole word, and we need to preach the whole word. It's compelled me that during these times, we need to just sit back, I should say step back, or take a stand even, and stand in the righteous word of God and set ourselves apart from what is going on in the world. Now, we need to be involved in politics in that if you're a policeman, if you're a judge, if you're a lawyer, if you're in politics, if you're looking out for the safety and security of our nation and our country, and I served 22 years in the military and all that, we need to do that. We need to do the businesses that we do righteously and justly. We need to do those things. But folks, they're all secondary. They're all secondary to taking side with God. Because you see the division in the planet, don't we? We see the complete division in the planet between those who want to serve the Lord and those who are serving themselves. This word conceive, they conceive injustice and wickedness. I was contemplating war and peace this last week as I begin to read James chapter 4. You know, your mind goes to Leo Tolstoy and that Russian man who believed in Jesus, but he also talked about how Buddha tried to do things justly and stuff. So he had some syncretism, some other things going on there in his life. He made that novel, that peace-winning novel about the Russian war and Napoleon and all of that. In that novel, there's people fighting for their own good, fighting for their own will, fighting over a woman. Napoleon's fighting over Russia. Why did he go into Russia? Well, he wanted to protect Poland. Well, he's a Frenchman. Why does he want to protect Poland? Because Russia, comes down to it. Russia, he wanted to stop Russia's trade with the UK, to weaken the UK so that he could conquer the UK. You see the underlying web? You go back to all of these things. The Nazis. Why did Hitler invade Poland? Same thing. He invaded Poland to stop Russia so that he could conquer the UK. It's the same thing. Very interesting. Is the United States innocent in all this? I would suggest this. Again, I was in the military for a while. The military has been really kind of the world's policeman. We believed in justice, and we believed in our Constitution and really our ideas of trying to protect the innocent, trying to stop the chaos in the world, trying to bring peace to some areas. To be frank with you, we haven't done it very well in some areas. And in fact, many would say in many areas. We were in Afghanistan for how long? 20 years. Only to pull out rapidly and turn that nation over in 1 week to the worst government you will ever see on the planet. Why did we go in the first place? All those questions have to come up. But to be frank with you, the nations, we use these ideas of bringing peace or making war because of the benefit for the nation. For the nation. And some people have a skewed idea of what the benefit is. And that's where chaos comes in. I want. Russia wants the USSR back. Turkey wants the Ottoman Empire back. Iran wants the Persian Empire back. China wants the world. Islam wants the world. Here's our question. What do we want? What do we want as a church? And what do you want as an individual? What passions drive you? James is going to talk to us about this. The United States has been somewhat of a peacemaker. It's been fairly good at it sometimes. James is a peacemaker. Jesus was a peacemaker. God is a peacemaker. He's not a peacekeeper. All right? He's a peacemaker. So when we come to this place in James where he's trying to bring peace to your heart, you need to take it as that. Speaking the truth in love, he's going to let us have it. God is letting us have it. Because the war begins right here. It is right here, isn't it? That's what James says. What causes quarrels? And what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Wait a minute, James. Is that a question? Like, is there war in you? Do you have passions in you? Do you have issues within you? And the answer for all of us is absolutely yes. So what happens then when I pick my passion as my standard, as the thing that I need to fight for, the war's on. And you know who you begin the war with? God. When Eve wanted that apple, when she wanted that fruit, she picked the war with the Lord. When Satan said, I want those two people to serve me, he picked a war with the Lord. He picked it before that. And it goes all the way through the scriptures. And to this day, you and me are choosing to be at war with God or not, to be a friend with the Lord. Is it not this, that your passions are at war in you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. Boy, have anybody here murdered anybody? I mean, we can bring the policeman up here and take you to serve your sentence. But remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 about war, about murder, That if you hate somebody, now again, what is hate? Now, I don't have any feelings, wrong feelings toward anybody, but what is hate? That's not how you feel toward somebody. It is how you act. It's how we act. When I pick a fight, you desire and you do not have. So you are angry. You murder. You covet and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people. You adulterous people. You see, God is standing over there holy. And when we do these things, we are at odds with him. We are adulterating ourselves against him and his word. Against his love. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself at war with God. Makes himself an enemy of God. The things that are going on in the streets of the United States now, the things that are going on in Afghanistan and the Middle East, the things that are going on between the UK and the UK and the EU, remember that old ex-Brexit, the things that are going on between the Russians and the EU, the things that are going on between Russia and the United States, China and the United States, the Democrats and the Republicans, the Christians and the non-Christians. What is it? It's war. It's war. And it comes down to sin and the passions that are within people. And so the first person you go to war with is not God. Who is it? Myself. Myself. Why? Because that's where the passions are. That's where the passions are. That's where the problems are. It's with me. I look in the mirror and say, you're the problem. Right? We can blame Satan. He started the war. Even Adam and Eve picked it up, right? Didn't they choose a side? There was already a side. So we can blame Adam and Eve if we want. We can pull Eve and blame the Satan. We can pull an Adam and blame Eve, right? No, it's our choice. And I have to look in the mirror and say, where is the problem? It's here. Where is the solution? Where is my friend? It's there. It's there. He's my friend. He's my counselor and my guide. He is my power. The Holy Spirit indwells in me with the power and the might to know and understand the solution. Here's the solution. Now, you and I are not going to like it. James, can you be talking to somebody else right now? Because you're kind of being harsh, you know? You're kind of being a little forward with me. You don't even know me. James says, I love Jesus, and I'm going to speak to you in love. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? We have to choose a side. And the question is, first of all, have you chosen? Now, when you choose, we get Kathy up here and lead us all around. Onward Christian soldiers, right? Have you ever marched around in a church? I have. Just for fun. People think you're nuts, you know. That's okay. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. They're not going to pick up an M16 or a grenade launcher. You're going to recognize that you're at war. Not with flesh and blood, with passions. And with, on God's side. You're on God's side. He is fighting the battle for you, with you. And you are struggling against your own passions. And the question is, have you picked up the fight? Have you picked it up? Do you struggle against your passions? It's a good struggle. It's okay. It's the right fight to take. It's the right thing to do. Such a fantastic God. You ever thought about God? And I mean personally. Here's a person, a triune person. He's sitting in his heaven right now, at his home. Now, he indwells us, okay, but he's there. in person. And he's good. Have you ever thought about how did you get good? I mean, did you decide to become good? Or it's beyond contemplation, really. We don't understand that there's only one person, a triune person, three persons in one. Okay? There's a triune person, and he, the one God, is good. He is good. He didn't decide to be good. He simply is. For that alone, you and I should be singing great shouts of joy right now. Why isn't he bad? I'm going to make little people and then I'm going to, you know, destroy them and torture them. You know, all the other mythical gods, that's what they do. If you read the myths, you know, that's what they do. You know, they make God men and then they hate them and then they, you know, they serve themselves. And Mark said it this morning, Jesus did not come to serve himself. He came to serve us. That's unlike any other God. He's a good God. And here's the big deal. We're on his side. He chose us as children, sons and daughters. And he says, I love you with an everlasting love. Come on my side. Come on. But when you do, remember, I'm a holy, separated God. You're going to come into my light. I can't have any darkness in here. Leave your darkness at the doorway. Leave your bags of wickedness and passions at the door. And so the world has decided, well, forget that. I'm going to pick a fight. You ever been to a place, you know, you go to a funeral and everything's good. Funeral's nice. Then you go to the reading of the will. You all laugh. I've got to say another word. You know, the reading of the will, and some young nephew who's been an idiot for a long time, he gets grandpa's fantastic old 1960 Chevrolet or whatever it is, you know. He gets the neat car or the bundle of money or something. What happens to us? What happens to the people who've hung in there? We're kind of like remember the prodigal son and the father and the two sons? The older son, he says, what am I, chopped liver? He didn't say that, but he's calling out his dad for not treating him nice. I didn't get a roast. I didn't get a robe or a roast. What did God say? You're always with me. Everything I have is yours. What are we worried about? What do we go to war for? What do we pick a fight for over a dollar? Over a car. Now, I can't help but think when reading through James, it's like, James, you're talking to humanity here. If you read this, this is all of humanity. He's saying, you all fight, you all quarrel. Just act like you're in Texas. You all. You're all at it. You're all picking up muskets and firing at each other. But we have to suggest that he's talking to the church because at the beginning and through there he says, brothers in Christ, and you have been called out. He is calling you out. And he's calling me out. Check your passions at the door. Leave them there. Fight them. Fight them. Because those are the things that are made of the world. And you are either in the world with them, or you're in the world with God at your side. Or, by the way, you're at his side. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world. Now, that concept is, I'm a friend of the world, I'm going to be like them. Remember what Peter says? You know, they think it odd that you don't jump in and take part in what they're doing. You should look weird. That's why we're looking, that's why we're doing James. This, I'm being very frank with you. You know, again, just out salmon fishing. You know, you never see a salmon swimming downstream in the Pacific side. You know, they do in the Atlantic. They do this little, they go like that. You know, they go in and out and in and out. But the Pacific, they go up, and what they do, what do they do when they go up? They die. They go one way and they die. You and me? One way. Jesus said to the disciples, Pick up your cross and follow me. They said, you're going to Jerusalem? Thomas said, well, we might as well go ahead and die too. That's really, I mean, he's being sarcastic, but that's the truth. Let's go with him. Because beyond that simple death is what? Blessed eternity. The most blessed thing you can ever think of is on beyond those doors. So fight the passions now. Pick the fight now. Pick it. Pick sides. Matthew 10:33. But whoever desires, I'm sorry, whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Do not assume that I have come to bring peace to the earth. You know, everybody thinks that the New Testament Jesus can't be the Old Testament God. They say the Old Testament God, he's too rough. He's too mean. He's too violent. And I would suggest, well, he's mean and violent sometimes. I mean, we can't deny that, can we? But what do we mean by mean? Oh, he doesn't do it our way. He's picking a fight, but he's being a little bit over mean about it, right? No, he is holy and just, and he's saying, here's my people, and I'm going to protect them, and here's the power to protect yourself, and go do it. And then so Jesus comes, meek and mild. And all of our churches for centuries have preached a meek and mild Jesus. Right? Then he tells the woman at the well, you don't know what you're talking about.